Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, what do you think? We ought to talk about something. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's go over there. You ready? And then we'll get you on your way. We'll get you filled and fed, and then we'll send you. That's right. God's good. You know, different ministers have different ways of doing things. And there's lots of flavors out there to pick from. And I can preach. I know how to do that. Everything outside of that, I rely on my wife heavily. Somebody asked me the other day, man, it looks good in here. I know, she picked it all. You know, I mean, we had a lot of people involved in the process, but she, you know, she makes it look good, and we're the muscle, you know what I mean? I can paint a wall, you know, I can do that type of stuff, but she figures all that stuff out and makes it look good. So for a service like this, I was praying about it, and I said, Lord, you know, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? Where are people at? You know, I don't believe in just going through the Bible book by book necessarily. I mean, there are different groups that do different things. I'm just telling you ours and the way we do it. I want to hear from the Holy Spirit about what you need. And then I want to give that. And I want to hear the scriptures that he has that'll speak to the situation to help you. And how many know the Bible's full of black and red letters if you got a red letter edition? But the Holy Spirit is all the white in between. So in other words, he'll give me something, and then the Holy Spirit will say something to you, and you'll go, oh. And I've had people come up to me afterwards and go, you know, when you were talking about this one point, boy, that really ministered to me. And I'm going, I didn't say that. Because it wasn't me. They were hearing from the Lord. And how many have ever done that? You've been in a service, you're listening, and your mind, the Holy Spirit just takes your mind a different direction and shows you something that you need an answer for, and it just helps you. And so that's what we're after here. And, you know, we're Faith Family Church, and it's life in Christ. That's our tagline. Why? Because your life is in him. You will find no other life outside of him. You cannot play football correctly without Jesus in your heart. Okay, you cannot drive a NASCAR right without Jesus in you. And people go, oh, no. Yeah, you can't even cook the pie that you've cooked for years at the level that it could be cooked without Jesus in you. Why? Because he is life. And everything that pertains to life. And with him in your life, oh, the possibilities are endless. They are, I mean, it's above and beyond all you could ask or think. It's at a level that, it's beyond what you could ask or think. He's super abundant. So to the degree that as a minister, I can get you to cooperate with Jesus, you'll experience more of him. Does that make sense? Because see, none of this is about becoming famous and having a big church. In the sense of just building something, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. This is about you growing and developing. It's about the fivefold ministry gifts coming into this place and feeding the body of Christ and serving what we have, what's been given to us by the Holy Spirit under the unction and the gifts and graces of God that are within us, and getting you to grow in your relationship with God so that you can be a manifestation of the life of Christ wherever you're at. Doesn't matter what state, what continent, come on, any of that. That's what it's about. Some people are looking, you know, they think, well, if I change my geography, if I move, or if I go to this place, or if I go to that place, or if I, you know, find a new family, find a new spouse, if I do this and that and all these other things, then everything will be right. But then they get that and they find out that they're there. Bless you all. You say, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that is this, is that we need the fixing. And when we fix and God heals, the physician heals, he changes, he shows us, he keeps us, he watches over us, he increases and grows us and matures us in him, life in Christ, then this stuff out here somehow just isn't that big of a deal. It isn't that big of a deal. You'll develop to the point where, you know, like Paul, he could sit in prison and rejoice after a good beating. And people go, I can't do that. Well, it just means you need more growing. Amen. And so this morning, I just want to share a little bit of my testimony and how I got to where I'm at today. And there's a lot of people that played a role in that, but let's pray and we'll ask the Holy Spirit and we'll see what he does in your life and in mine. Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for this facility. You're so good to us. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you and the grace you've placed within me. Lord, we honor you and bless you in it. I say, speak through me. Give me utterance and boldness to speak as I ought to speak. And Lord, the words that go forth, I thank you that they're seeds. And that these words settle in the hearts of your children, your believers this morning. And that they will take root deep down inside. And as rain continues to fall, the rain of your Spirit and the water, washing of the water of the Word upon this seed, that it will produce a harvest in the lives of those that are sitting here. That your Word renews our minds. It changes the way we think. It begins to govern everything that we do and how we think and what we say and what we do. And as we do, we know that we'll be blessed because your word says that the doer of the word is blessed, not the hearer only. So we won't just hear, Lord. We're not just here to punch a ticket. We're not just here to try and get another blessing because we showed up at church. We're here to be fed. And as we're fed, we'll take it and we'll go out and be what you've called us to be and what you've made us to be in Christ Jesus. And as we do, we know we'll be blessed and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5. So there are 4 points to our vision as far as our church is concerned. And I just want to share that this morning and go through it. But first, the first point on Faith Family Church is that people would be able to come and experience God's love through life in Christ, come to grow in their relationship with God through life in Christ, come to discover, develop, and serve through life in Christ, and then come to the place of sharing with others about the good life in Christ. That's our purpose. And what happened to me was I was raised, and I thought my parents were going to be here. I don't think they're here this morning. But anyway, I was raised in the church. Okay, I actually was raised at Faith Chapel. Now, it wasn't Faith Chapel over here. How many are familiar with Faith Chapel over here on Shiloh? And I was raised in that church most of my growing up days. I want to say, I know my parents went all the way through when I was in high school and even after. Now, I didn't go to church with them every Sunday when I was later on in my high school years because I had a real good stint of rebellion and messed myself up pretty good. But anyway, we went to that church when it was over at Central, over by, everybody familiar with Central Hobbies? So there's a building that was actually a house converted into a church that was behind it, and we went to that church when it first started. Well, even at that facility over there, my dad went on staff over there. So he was an associate pastor with Faith Chapel, and I don't remember how many years it was. So I knew about the Lord. Did you know that? I mean, you're raised in church and you hear about the Lord, and it wasn't just like a dead, dry religion. I heard about the Lord. I knew that Jesus was my Savior, but I had not given myself to Him completely. How many were raised in church and you got saved like every church camp? Okay, I did. But really, my salvation day was the week of July 22nd, 1996. You say, what do you mean by that? That was the time that I decided I'm going all in. I'm going to the deep end. I'm jumping off. And if I drown, I drown. Come on, anybody ever made a decision like that? You're like, well, here we go. You know? And so that was when I made that decision. And the reason why I made that decision was because I tried almost everything the world told me to do in order to be happy, and none of it worked. I couldn't, I couldn't get it to settle. I couldn't get peace inside. You know what I mean by that? I couldn't get near as I could tell, Christians had all the same troubles that unbelievers did, only Christians actually had help. They had the Lord on their side. You know what I mean by that? And so when I was, as I was going through life and watching this, I'm going, I'm trying everything the world has for me, and it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. You know, it doesn't do any good to try and rebel if your parents are praying for you. And then their parents are praying for you. And then when you see their parents, one of them, my grandpa Bob, he would just flat tell me. You know what I mean? You know how you have like your nice grandma's like, oh, I'm praying for you. My grandpa's like, you better knock it off, you knothead. I'm going to kick you. He was not playing. He loved me with kicking. I mean, he'd just tell me. I mean, I was running around being an idiot. I got kicked out of my house. I was living with a friend, and this was in high school. You know, my parents were like, forget it. If you're going to act like that, you're gone. You're 18. See ya. And so I got booted. Well, it did not go well for me. I got myself in a whole lot of trouble. And everybody, you know, the commercials, my friends, the people I'm around, they're telling me, you know, they're living this life and they're showing, you know, this is it. We're supposed to be happy. And I'm going, well, if I was altered and inebriated, I was happy because I didn't know any better. But the moment I sobered up, hello, my inside of my heart's going, oh man, this is terrible. I hate this. There's no medication. There's no medicating, whether it be doctor or self-medicating, that's helping me. And so I had this process that I went through where I discovered that my only hope was life in Christ. So I graduated high school with a 2.45 grade point average. Oh, yeah. Solid. I'm not a math genius like Pastor Jeremy. College was not on the map for me. I mean, it might have been there, but there's no point. And I went to church camp to pick up girls. That's what you do at church camp, right? That's what my friends decided to do. I'm like, all right, I'll go. It's the last year I can go. I actually did pick up a girl. She's right there. But I had to get saved first. So I went to church camp, and I don't know that I was expecting necessarily, but God was setting me up. And the preacher there that year was preaching, and he was, I'm forgetting his name right now. But anyway, he's preaching away, and he was entertaining. He was a good evangelist. I mean, he's giving it his all, and I'm like, oh, this guy's good. You know, I'm into this. This isn't like lecturing. He's preaching. I'm going, he's got something. And inside me, I'm going, my heart's going back to those years, you know, when I experienced God at different times in church or in family things or whatever. And you go back to those things and you watch your family and you watch the life around you and you're watching people around you that serve God. And you're like, yeah, they got issues, but they seem genuinely happy. And the Holy Spirit's using all this to draw me back to Him. So I'm sitting in the way back because that's what I did. Because you don't want to get too close to the front because God might hit you. You know? Yeah, he might give you a smack. So you sit way in the back so the preacher can't see you. And the altar calls, I don't even remember what he preached on that night, honestly. And they're giving an altar call. They're talking about, you know, you need to give your life back to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit's just tugging on me. Oh, you got to go. You got to go. And I kind of felt like if I didn't, I don't know if I'd still be alive today type thing for me. I don't know where you're at, but this was for me. And I just looked over. I'm sitting there, and all my friends are here to the left of me. And I was kind of the ringleader, not totally, but I could get everybody going in a direction quick. And we could cause some problems quick. The youth pastor must have been under the mercy and grace of God at a level that you're not totally aware of what's going on. Because we didn't even let him decide who was going to sit in the vans as before we went up. Me and my friends kicked a guy off the van we were on because we wanted our friend on. And as he was like, no, the youth pastor was like, no, he's going to ride on this. And my friend, his name's Eric Brady, he's about 6'3", and he weighs about 260 pounds, probably more right now. And he was 6'3" in junior high. Yeah, he's a big old boy. He played football for Rocky. He had a full ride. Yeah, he messed it up. But anyway, so we had that problem at that time. We messed things up. So, but anyway, he stuck his foot in front of the sliding door on the van and wouldn't move it for the youth pastor until the two switched. Now, if that would have been me as that youth pastor, I might have pulled my conceal and carry out and ushered everybody off the van. But he didn't. He was patient with us. And he let him switch. And we drove up. Poor van driver got a van full of us. And then we got up to camp. And when we got up to camp, there were probably about 6 or 7 of us. And 3 of us are serving the Lord today. So he almost got half. That's pretty good numbers.
Yeah.
And during the altar call time, I turned around and I looked at my friends and I said, if I don't do it now, I'll never do it. Those are the words that came out of my mouth. And it's not like I pre-thought it. You know what I mean? I said, if I don't do it now, I'll never do it. And I went to the altar and I lost all my friends. Why? Because I found Jesus. And some of them are, I had another friend of mine that went that night too, and he's serving the Lord till today. And I had another friend that went up who backslid pretty hard and got in back into the world, but after waking up, passed out in people's parking or in people's front lawns a couple of times, he got his life back with the Lord, and he has been fine since. And then some of them, they're living, but they're not living happy, you know what I mean? Because they don't have life in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5, it says this. In verse number, I'm going to read it in the Amplified, but in verse 14, it says, for the love of Christ controls and urges and impels us, because we are of the opinion and conviction that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all so that all those who live might live for live no longer to and for themselves, but to and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from purely a human point of view, in terms of natural standard of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. And then verse 17, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. First part of verse 18, but all things are from God. And that's what happened to me in that service. I went forward and garbage went out and God came in. And I experienced really at a strong level for the first time life in Christ. And I instantly went from a place of, I don't know what I'm going to do to, yes, this is good. This is good. God's in me now. I have satisfaction. I have a rest on the inside that I didn't have before. Why? Because sin is a weight. That way of living is a weight. It's death. It just sits on you and sucks the life right out of you. But in that moment, what happened was the Holy Spirit responded to my act of faith toward Him, and I received the nature of God on the inside of me. So then you know what God did, because He's smart. How many know God's smart? You know? He didn't care that I had a 2.45 grade point average, because He's like, I'm smart enough for all of us, so just listen to me and you'll be fine. So that's what we've attempted to do for 20 years. Almost 21 years. Almost 22 years that we've been serving the Lord. So I after that, you know, I was real high class. And I had a job at Chuck E. Cheese. You laugh. I don't know why. There's a career there. If you work at Chuck E. Cheese, I'm sorry. So I worked at Chuck E. Cheese. And everybody always asked me, were you the rat? Everybody had to be the rat, all right? So yes, I was the rat. And anyway, so I was there and working there. And when I came back, of course, I was on fire for the Lord. But you know, when I was working there, I had developed a pretty bad pattern of partying with the managers. You say, you weren't old enough. I know, but they were, to buy whatever we wanted. You know what I mean? And they did. You know, that happens all the time. I mean, you guys, you've been around, you know. And so the Lord did not want to leave me there. And so I after I graduated high school, I told the manager there, and I was a shift manager. I had worked my way up to a shift manager. And so while we're there, I could tell you so many stories are going through my mind right now, but I can't share them. But anyway, so I said, I need 40 hours a week and I need this much pay. Well, at about the same time, you know, of course I had come back and Heidi and I started flirting with each other. And that's how it starts, right? So, and I didn't know, but her dad who's here, Terry is here. Terry and Susan, raise your hand. You got to raise your hand, Susan, sorry. Okay, those are my in-laws, okay? So he was looking to hire somebody for his business because he has a painting and drywall business. So he called me or I don't know how it all happened. I think you called me and offered me your job. Something like that happened. We ended up hanging out with a new group of people, or I did with her friends, and because she didn't do what I did. You understand what I'm saying? She served God. She's like, I am not that dumb. In my defense, not all my brain cells worked. They did before. Okay, anyway, so what happened is somehow or another, I got connected with Terry in looking for work. Well, he had a trade business, and it had started to increase, and he needed to hire somebody. And I had already got what I wanted from my current boss, and I wasn't going to quit. So I get on the phone with him and start talking with him, and I find myself not even talking to the Chuck E. Cheese manager, quitting my other job and just going with him. Because the Lord knew He had to get me out of that environment. I mean, if I told you the stuff we did, well, it's gone. It's disgrace. I'm under grace now. So I look so good. Yeah. You offered benefits. Yes. Now he tried to make me work 7 years for the older sister first. Now I'll just tell you right now, the older sister wouldn't be alive if we would have. Anyway, she found who she was supposed to. They had to bring him in from out of state, but he got me. Poor Dan, he's not even here to defend himself. So anyway, yeah, I mean, it was worth it, right? I get to work, and I get to see her. And I learned to trade. So, I mean, obviously, I wasn't going to college because, you know, I'd had to retake probably pre-algebra in order to, because I hadn't paid attention at all. But anyway, so I get a job with him. Well, this is how I got introduced to the Word of Faith. Was Terry and Susan. They heard the Word of Faith, and I had never heard of the Word of Faith before. you know, I was raised four square. Well, if you go back a ways in the four square, they were Word of Faith. But over the years, some things have changed in that, and I'd never heard of it before. Well, what happened was God put me in a place where my relationship with Him could start to grow. So they had all these, you know, tapes and videos and all these books and different things, and they just, here, you know, listen to this. And they gave me Jesse Duplantis' stuff, which worked great for me because I identified with him, you know? I identified with the culture that he came out of. Not that I was a rock star, but at least I knew how to party like one. You know what I mean? So he came out of that, and what am I experiencing again? Life in Christ. And I'm going, wow, this is the best. You mean God will talk to me? You mean I can read His Word? And I started having encounters with God. And I can't go into all of them. In the process of this, okay? In the process of this, I'm working. You might go ahead and raise your hand. I'm working with Mike Hill here, who did the offering earlier, okay? And he's mentoring me. Because he, you know, he was like Noah in Laurel. The only one. You know, I mean, he built himself an ark, and it was a 1978 Mercury Lynx orange. But he prayed the Spirit in that thing, and then I'd ride with him in that from job to job and go, this guy's got something I don't got. Because there's peace here. I mean, that car was ugly. I mean, ugly doesn't even, it was, like my father-in-law says, double pretty. Pretty ugly and pretty apt to stay that way. But the peace of God was in it because he knew the Lord, and then I'd learn from him, and he'd give me tapes. Or he'd give me music that he listened to. Mostly it was I got music. And then he'd share with me about what the Lord had shown him and how, you know, he'd talk about reading his Bible. I'm like, oh yeah, I got to read the Bible. You got to read the Bible. And I'd just read the Bible and read the Bible. And people were like, did you understand it? 2.45 grade point average. Didn't understand the thing. I knew Jesus came and died for me, and that was it. And as I'd read, over time, I learned how to listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. And he would show me things in that word. And I'm going, what is this? And I'd just stay after it and stay after it and stay after it. And I grew in my relationship with the Lord. And I'm experiencing what? Life in Christ. And then I'm going to share some of these things with you. You may not understand them. I don't expect you to. But if you look through the scripture, you'll see them. God would give me dreams of me preaching. I would have dreams. What do you mean by dreams? Like I'm sleeping at night and I'm dreaming that I'm preaching. I'm like, what in the world is going on? I had no clue. I didn't know God gave dreams. I didn't know that. I didn't read about Joseph. I didn't know about Joseph. I didn't know God would speak to me that way. And he would. He'd give me dreams. I would see myself preaching. I was in a suit. I didn't own a suit. I barely owned clothes that didn't have holes in them. You know what I mean? I was not groomed to be a pastor. You know what I mean? I wasn't raised under you're the next guy on the docket, Sean. You know? And I'm having dreams and I'm going, what is going on? And in the dream, they were so vivid, I could see the suit, everything I was wearing, and I could feel the anointing on me when I was preaching. And it would wake me up out of sleep at night. Now, this has not happened for years, just so you know. But it was not when I was first saved. It happened multiple times. And God would visit me. It was supernatural. You understand? Spectacular. And when I was first, because he was keeping me on track. And then he sent me to Bible college. And I made it through Bible college. Now, it was a little easier than... Then, but I got a 3.8, what? I don't know. I got 1B. I know. And I actually read the books. that they gave me. No, you don't understand. I actually read the books. I read the whole thing. Front to back, and I didn't fall asleep. And while I was down at Rhema, Mike and Jody moved down, and they got an apartment where we were split on opposite sides, and they let me live with them. And when I went to Rhema my first year, after I got saved, Heidi's group of friends had been to Rhema, and they came back. They moved down there again because one of them was still hunting for a wife at Rhema Bridal Training Center. And he's trying to give a lady her MRS degree. But anyway, what happened was, a missus, you'll figure it out later. He rented a place because nobody was going to rent anything to me. You don't understand what I looked like. I mean, people would have looked at me and went, no. No, you're not renting from me. I know you ain't going to pay your bills. But this guy was a clean-cut guy. His name was Justin Franson. Him and Jeremy Olischuk and all these guys, they took me in and just were a friend to me. I did not deserve it. I was a jerk. I run my mouth. I mean, that's why the guy made me a preacher, because he knew I wouldn't shut up. But I would run my mouth. I was not smooth at all. But they just loved me. Justin would just pour into me. Yeah, Sean, read the scriptures. Yeah. Oh, you heard from God. Tell me about what it was. And I am experiencing this whole thing that is our goal for the church. Life in Christ. I'm experiencing it. They're coming alongside me. They're helping me. Don't do that. Do this. Stop doing that. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? Good spiritual brothers and sisters in the Lord that were helping me move in the right direction. He was able to get a place to rent, and this is how it was. He went in to talk to the people, the landlord, about getting the place to rent, and I started to get out of the car, and he said, no, you stay here. I'm sitting in the car going, oh, why can't I go in there? And God's going, because you wouldn't get the place. Because he's got like a suit jacket on, you know, and all this stuff. He's high class, right? And so we got the place, and then my education starts. And I'm growing in the Lord, and I am not perfect. But God's grace and mercy's on me. And I'm growing and developing, and the Lord's speaking to me. And all of a sudden, I start seeing and learning from school what's in the Word for me. And I'm developing. Not only am I training for the ministry, but the whole first year I'm there, it's just basics. You know, how you got born again. What does that mean? You got baptized in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What are the promises that are to you? And all this stuff starts coming to me about knowledge from the Word of God about who I am in Christ. And I grow and grow and grow and grow. And then I come back to Billings after I graduate. I marry Heidi real quick, and then we go back to school. And she goes to school for 2 years. And then we stay down there and serve for probably another year or so after you graduated. 2 years after you graduated. And then the Lord said, go back. And at that time, we hooked up with my in-laws, had a ministry that they had started, and we hooked up with them. And it was, I learned how to function in my gift even more as far as being able to preach and teach and flow with the Holy Spirit and understand my relationship with the Lord and develop. I was able to serve. I was able to, I don't know, 2 years or something like that, Terry and I went early to the church or to the building that we were using and prayed. We'd go get coffee. You got to do that first. And like a bagel or a dessert or something like that on the way to the church. And then we'd go to the church and we'd turn on some worship music and start praying for the people that were coming. And you learn how to serve. You learn how to, this process begins to happen where you go from what you were to what God wants you to be. And as the process continues, oh, there's tons of challenges. Oh, there's issues. Oh, there's, you know, all sorts of stuff. Because anytime you're in a family, you know what happens, right? The enemy tries to come in and stir things up. Whether it's your own family or a church family, stuff happens. But in this process, what's taking place is I'm learning I'm a new creation in Christ, and I'm walking out of what's inside of me, and I'm overcoming in life again and again and again and again. And faith is growing inside of me. And, you know, there's no testimony without a test. I'll put it to you like this. The Lord has said this to me a couple of times. He said, Sean, people want the Red Sea to split in front of them, but they don't want Pharaoh to be behind them with his horse. But see, if it's possible, you don't need a miracle. What is possible with man, God doesn't need to do. But what is impossible with man is only possible with God. And it's only possible to those who believe. And I chose to believe. And I was growing, I was developing. And then the Lord hooked me up with Breakforth, with Pastor Larry Phelan. As far as our kind of group, that the RMAI, the Ministerial Association, there are not a lot of us around here. In some places, it's like so dense you can't even move until you hit another Rhema church. You know what I mean? They're just everywhere. But here, it's few and far between. And Pastor Larry Phelan, even though I had developed in my gift to minister and stuff like that, I wasn't great. You know what I mean? I'm still not that polished, but you understand what I'm saying? I was even less polished. So if you think it's bad now, be thankful you didn't know me 10 years ago. But he took me in. He put up with me. And he gave me opportunity to minister. And then the Lord put me in a youth pastor position for about 6 years. Oh, Jesus. Take the wheel. Let's just rip the wheel off and rip the tires off. Let's not drive that thing. But I guess I had to experience what I put some other youth pastor through. Oh, Lord. And as soon as I was ready in my faith to do it, to handle it, because, you know, God won't put you in a place where you're going to crumble. He knows your heart. He knows how strong you are. So he put me there. And as soon as I was ready, he went, boom, there you go. And he put me in, and I was stretched and pulled. And then a few years prior to that, me and Mike were praying at one time, and the Lord showed Mike that God was going to stretch my will around his. Do you remember that? He was going to stretch it around it. Do you know that hurts? Just so you know. And I went, oh. And you go through it, though, and then when you're done, come on, how many ever seen you've seen in sports, but an athlete, but like a weight trainer or something like that? What do they do? They tell you, your max is 200 on the bench, and he goes, put on 210. And you go, no, I can only do 200. You go, put on 210. Now, you two spot over there, and then you push it up, and you go, oh, and that's what God was doing to me. He was saying, you don't realize how strong you are because you won't stay where I put you. But if you stay where I put you, you'll realize how strong you are in him. And you grow and develop and you step out into the things that people go, what are you thinking? How many know when Peter and the rest of the boys were in the boat and they were all scared because Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter pipes up, because you know Peter could never keep his mouth shut, and he jumps up and pipes up and says, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. You know, what's the Lord going to say at that point? It's him. What's he going to say? I mean, he kind of cornered the Lord. Come! What's Peter doing? Right. And all the other disciples are going, oh, Peter. Peter, it's water. You're a fisherman. You know better. But God doesn't care if it's water. He doesn't care if it's quicksand. If he says come, you come. And so that's what happened. And I in this process, learned even more about ministry. God trained me there. It was so wonderful. You can't pay me enough to go through it again, but you can't pay me enough for what I experienced, because I went through by faith and got out on the other side. Come on. How many know it's the storm ain't always the best, the valley's not the best, but the other side, whoo, it's a blessing. Amen? And so in that process then, after I traveled for a couple of years, Heidi said 5.5 years ago is when I resigned the youth pastor position. We traveled, Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Larry, I mean, I did youth camps with them. I did stuff with them in this process, this time. And that relationship developed, and they trained me how to do things. And you say, what do you mean? They sat down and said, do this, this, and this? No, I went to the meetings that they held and went to the things that they did, and I watched how they did it, and then I reproduced that. Does that make sense? I replicated. They didn't just, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. They just trained by example, and I'd follow. And that's how most of your training happens in life. And then the Lord said, I want you to plant a church. I'm like, oh my Lord. Jesus, can't we just do something else? You know, can I win the lottery and retire? Or he's going, Sean, you'd have to play the lottery to win it. And in this process, God connects me back, which I had been separated, back to Mike and Jody. I was already with the Break Forth group and with others that we have had connect, Shane and Lindsay. Shane's here, but I think Lindsay's serving. And others, and we got together, and Joel and Tessa. Where's Joel? Where's Tessa? Is she in here or is she down? She's down. Okay. She's serving too or something. Oh, she's out there with a baby. And connected us together, and God brought us together, and we shared the vision of what we had, and they're like, yeah, let's do it. We don't have any money. We don't have a building. We don't have anything. They're like, sure, yeah, let's do it. It's a good idea. In other words, they sensed the Lord in it. And I made a phone call. I had it on my heart. I wonder if I can rent the Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch Chapel. I called them up. Had to go through the board. How many have ever tried to get through a board? I mean, I talked to a board of a corporation or something. And it couldn't be a majority. It had to be all. Everybody had to agree to it. So they put it through, and the guy gets back to me, well, all of them but one is okay with it. So I pray, Lord, you told me, so let's do it. So he says, okay, it went through. Then the week before we started, I get a call. It went through, but now one of the people on the board isn't sure. I had already put out the flyers, you know what I mean? We had already put it out saying, we're starting, we're going. And we step out, we do it, and I pulled over to the side of the road. I think I was in Laurel at the time. I don't know where I was. I pulled over to the side of the road, and my dad's telling me this on the phone. I said, Dad, he said, you might want to hold back. I said, I already did it. I already announced it that we're doing it. He said, well, okay. I said, we're going forward. She'll change her mind. 15 minutes later, she called back and said, yeah, they need to do it. And we just moved out of that building last week and moved into this one. I mean, all of our stuff. And they didn't want us to go. Why? Because we blessed them. We blessed them. And God has grown us and grown us and grown us, not only in a physical number, but spiritually. If I could tell you that. So you say, what is all this about? This facility, this place, everything we do is about life in Christ in people. The building is a building. There are nicer ones. There are way nicer buildings than this. What's so? You can go into a really nice building, but if you don't get anything from the Lord and you don't get the Word and you're not growing in your relationship with the Lord, I'd backpedal myself right out of it. Because I am not, you know, there's a story in the Old Testament about some lepers and there's a city that's under siege. And there's these lepers outside this gate and they can't go in. And everybody's starving inside the city, and they're under siege from an enemy. And the enemy is starving them out, is what they're doing. They won't let supplies go in. And the lepers are sitting there like, we're going to die anyway. And they look at each other and go, why sit here till we die? And they get up and walk toward the enemy's camp. And as they're walking toward the enemy's camp, God multiplies the sound of their footsteps. And the enemy thinks that the Jewish people hired another army to attack them. And in their mind, they're in a panic. There's this huge army coming. It was four lepers. I mean, they're probably not even walking
and right. Sorry, was that insensitive to lepers? Whoops. Told you I was real polished. So they're not, and what does the enemy hear? The enemy hears this huge sound and they just take off. They leave everything. I mean, they left stew on the stove. You know what I mean? They left everything, food, jewels, everything. And those lepers walk in there and they're like, hey, everything's gone. And so they just start putting on rings and eating turkey legs. I don't know if it's Thanksgiving at that time, but it's possible. And then they thought, well, we better go back and share it with somebody else. And God delivered them. So in other words, this church and what we're doing, our part in the kingdom, okay? Our goal is to have God to do whatever He wants. And we're going to follow that to the best we know how. Do you know what I mean? Give it our all. But we want to feed people and help them grow in their relationship so that they can be an influence where they are as well. And spiritually, your life and naturally, your life can be so much different the deeper you get into life in Christ. You'll get to the place where the thought that you first thought you have in the morning is, good morning, Jesus. Let's do it today. What are we going to do? And that's our point. So this building, everything about this is all about the Lord. And Him getting what He wants. And Him getting His kingdom to happen here. But people discovering who they are in Christ so that they can go out and be Christ. Be a representation of the church and Christ and the body of Christ to the world around them. And as you grow in your relationship with the Lord, the rest of the stuff, it won't matter as much. But He's got a goal for you. He's got a plan for you. If you stick with Him, oh, it'll be good. It'll be good. Amen? Because He is above and beyond all I could ask or think. And I'm not telling you it's all easy. I'm telling you it's all possible with Him. But you know what? You're going to have issues in life anyway. You might as well have Jesus in your boat. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? Let's just pray and we'll be done. Hallelujah. I love that last song, man. I see rain. I hear rain. Thick, dark clouds. So what I want to do here, there's a scripture in Matthew, it's in all the Gospels, but it talks about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He prays. He says, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And so I just want to pray that over us personally, and then for this place as well. Does that make sense? And as we do, consecrate your heart to God, what He wants you to do. People say, well, I've already done it. Listen, I don't care who you are, what level of relationship with the Lord that you've had, you can always open up more to Him. Does that make sense? Because whether we realize it or not, there are areas of our lives where we go, no, Lord, don't touch that. That's mine. And you can't do that. You got to give it all. Amen? All right, let's pray. So, Father, we thank You for today. Lord, Your word is so good. And Your presence in this place has been glorious. And Lord, I know that Your plan for us is above and beyond all we could ask or think. And Your purpose for this church is that people experience life in Christ. And Lord, Your purpose for this church on all aspects is that those that are a part and You've called to be a part would even grow even more and develop even more in what they already have. So Lord, we consecrate ourselves to You. We consecrate this building to You. We consecrate our whole being, our families, everything to You. We say, Lord, not our will be done, but Yours. And we know that you said in your word that you came to give life and life more abundantly, so that we know that as we follow you, we may have trial, we will have tribulation that we go through, and we will face troubles, but in the process, we will experience life and life more abundantly. We'll experience those Red Seas splitting. We'll experience the Jericho walls falling. We'll experience deliverance from enemies on all sides, because you are faithful. You are good. So Lord, fill this neighborhood with your glory. Fill this city with your glory. We consecrate to you our hearts and our part in it. And we say, Lord, whatever you say, that's what we'll do. And Father, we just lift up the rest of the city to you, the other ministries that are in this city that are serving and following you. And we say, Lord, bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you said in your word that the world would know who we are by our love. And so, Lord, we commit to love with your love. And we rejoice and thank you for it in advance, knowing that you're going to do great things. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. God's good. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great week. We'll see you Wednesday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.